As I was thinking on Larger Catechism 105 this week, I remembered a book I read a couple of years ago. It's in Charnock's works, one of the first books or booklets, if you will, in Charnock's works. It's called Practical Atheism, or a treatise. Actually, it's called A Treatise on God's Providence. But in it, he speaks of practical atheism. And I found it to be a very convicting and stretching work. I would commend it to you if you have the opportunity to spend time with Reverend Charnock on that. It's called A Treatise on God's Providence. And really, he spends a lot of time in that speaking about practical atheism, which we have heard from the Larger Catechism 105. So, all right, Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appeareth from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep which go up from the washing. Thereof every one beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will ye see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, of the chapters that we have read thus far, I would say that the difference of interpretation is, it probably comes to one of its more acute points here in chapter 6. Who is speaking? What is being said? Has been the, it's been a little bit controversial among even godly commentators. But I think that as we go through it together, we can maybe sort some of these things out. So notice that the dialogue continues. Where did it end in chapter 5? It ended with the bride saying to the daughters of Jerusalem, "This is my beloved, this is my friend." Notice then that they have a question for her. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? And so verse 1 continues the dialogue. It's the daughters of Jerusalem. Now, the controversy is not who the speakers are, but the controversy is what do they mean when they say, "Where is thy beloved gone?" And some have recorded this as a taunt. Right? Whither is thy beloved gone? You say that you're so close to him that he's the fairest of 10,000. Well, then where is he? And there are others, and I think I would side with these, where we hear, "That's the kind of beloved you have? Well then, show us where he is that we might know him too." Right? In other words, they are induced by the testimony of the bride to her beloved. They are induced to desire to meet him as well. And of course, this would be in the ancient Near Eastern custom, right, of a man who has a retinue of a large amount of people. Okay, so he has his bride, these daughters of Jerusalem throughout. I think Durham is right when he says this represents the visible church generally, the bride is really that invisible church. The visible church is designated here by the daughters of Jerusalem. And so this is an inducement to the church as she hears the testimony of that archetypal church. As she hears that testimony, the visible church is induced to come and to follow Christ. I think that this is Rutherford's view of the passage as well. As we hear Rutherford speak of a proper ecclesiology, we would hear him say things like, you know, that the church is where the people of God hear about the beauty of Christ and are induced to love Him and to follow Him. That kind of witness is not going on outside the church. It's going on here. This is why Rutherford would also say at one point in his career that he thought that there was still much work to be done with regard to the church itself. He felt that the church was largely filled with unbelievers. And so we must continue to press the beauty of Christ to the people of God, that they too would come and follow Him. There's that one traveler in Scotland who went to this preacher and heard that, and that preacher and heard that. Then he said, "Then I came to a fair little man." He's talking about Rutherford. "I came to a fair little man, and he taught me the glory and beauty of Jesus Christ." So that's, I think, what we see here. So the visible church then is being induced by the love of the bride. We want to seek Him with thee. Well then, where would you expect to find the bridegroom? He's in the garden, of course. He's in the garden, and it is there that He's going to meet with His bride. And so notice, "My beloved has gone down into His garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies." Now, there's the answer of the bridegroom to the bride here in verse, let's see, what is it? 4-9. But then notice also in verse 11, the bridegroom says, "I went down to the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded." This is his own testimony. "You knew where I would be." And I think this, in my own understanding, I think this reaches all the way back into chapter 5. Right? Because reaching back into chapter 5, what had happened? Remember, he came and he knocked and he said, "Arise, my love, my fair one, my dove, come with me." "Oh, but my soul failed," she said. And then she'd gone out and went into the city and said, "Have you seen my beloved? Have you seen him?" And notice when she's asked about him, it is then in her meditations upon him that she recognizes where he will be found. He'll be found in the garden. And he answers that in verse 11. "You know where I went. You know where I would be. I went to the garden. I went to the place where we might feed together, where we might be together and commune together. That's where I will be. Don't you know where I'll be? That's where I'll be." And so that's what the bride tells the daughters of Jerusalem in verses 2 and 3. Then in verse 4, we have something that we've had in a similar chapter, the bridegroom, Christ, describing his church in very similar terms to what we've heard before about her teeth, you know, and her hair and her temples and so on being like pomegranates. "Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep, a piece of pomegranate are thy temples. 80 queens, 80 concubines, virgins without number." He sees her, and what happens? The daughters of Jerusalem have joined her. And here they come. Where are they going, do you think? They're going to the garden. They're going to commune with Christ. "My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her." Then notice verse 10. "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners?" Well, this is, again, the bridegroom looking upon the bride. And so He answers again, I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. Interestingly, verse 12, or ever I was aware, my soul made like the chariots of Amminadab. What in the world, Pastor? What does it mean? Well, you know, it is an interesting phrase. The chariots of Amminadab. Amminadab is, see if I can find it in my notes here. Make sure that I don't mess it up. Yeah, Amminadab speaks to, it's a compound word. It's a name in some sense in the Hebrew Old Testament, but it comes from the Hebrew word or people, and Nadab, which means the people's desire. And so here's what he says. The bridegroom says, I was on my way to the garden to see the fruits of the valley. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Suddenly, my desire was toward this people of mine. On I went. Of course, this is an anthropopathism. It's a condescension on the part of Christ to teach us the great love that he has for his people. He, as it were, couldn't wait. He couldn't wait. His soul became like the chariots full of desire for his people. I can't get to the garden fast enough to commune with the bride there. And so he says, return, O Shulamite. And remember that she has not yet found him since he left her in chapter 5. And so he's calling her again, once again, to meet with her in the garden. Return, that we may look upon thee. And what will you see in the Shulamite? As it were, the company of two armies. Well, there's a lot of conjecture that goes on about those two armies. What does that mean? Is it simply strength, great forces? Is it Jews and Gentiles? Is it the church of the Old Testament and the New Testament? Is it the visible and the invisible church? Well, it's difficult to know for sure. But let me say this way, that when the bridegroom looks upon the bride, he sees her as a company of two armies. She is not alone. She's not alone. She comes to him well arrayed and well furnished. I think that if there is one thing we can certainly say about that we must remain as the people of God within the bonds of that visible church. We must come as a force together. We must consider ourselves as a covenant people and not as a solitary individual. Certainly, we can say at least that much from the end of chapter 6. All right, well, thus ends the reading of chapter 6 of Song of Solomon.